Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dottillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Charlie Long running things behind the scenes, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, we have along with us Deuce McAllister, part of our Saints mandatory mini camp coverage brought to you by Cummins Marine Engines. Push more, pull harder, run longer. Deuce, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
No problem. How you guys doing?
Doing great, Deuce.
Doing great, Deuce. I want to ask you a question. All the running that you've done and how we relied upon you to get the short yardage, whatever, to produce, what would you say, like, if you'd be satisfied as a running back, like an explosive run? Is it like over 20 yards? Now, I'm not saying, you know, taking it to the house, 70, 80 yards, whatever, but what would you consider like, like an explosive run, but that was nice. Whether you break in tackles or whatever, but you're able to achieve like a 20-plus yard run. What would that be for you as a running back when you were playing?
It's plus 20. Plus 20. I mean, as a running back, an explosive run, I mean, I know some stats go by plus 15, but for me personally, you know, it's plus 20. And then after that, you want to, you know, me personally, I want to at least have one plus 40-yard run. You know, I want an explosive play, an explosive, true explosive play. Personally, is plus 40. But, I mean, I think a good run from a talent standpoint, just, you know, if I'm judging myself and going back and playing myself, then, hey, you know, if I get a plus 20 run, then, you know, that's two first downs. I've got an explosive play. Hopefully that's flipped the field. But a game-changing play, you know, I think, you know, you should want to have a plus 40.
You know, Deuce, the reason why I asked you that, and because we were talking about the running back position, we all know Ajan is the guy. He's the guy right now. We all know what Alvin Kamara and how he's contributed through the years with this team. I even brought up earlier how the Saints also moved on from you, Pierre Thomas, Reggie Bush, Ricky Williams, George Rogers, Chuck Muncy, that all of a sudden when you start, after you turn 30 years of age, and then especially look at Alvin's last season and his least most productive. But this caught my attention, and he's on the team now. By comparison, Ardrick Estime, who joined the team in week 10, okay? Now, Alvin, he managed to produce one run of more than 20 yards in the last three seasons. By comparison, Estime joined the team in week 10, we all know last season, produced a longer run, 32 yards on 46 attempts than Alvin had produced in 1,002 attempts over the last five seasons. Now, to be fair, you know, you got to look at pass receiving running back. Alvin produced 2-plus 50-yard receptions during that span. But I'm just looking like, okay, I thought we'd maybe see a little more of this. Remember the first game against the Cardinals? What, he had like a 19-yard touchdown run? That I was almost expecting Alvin to do that maybe a handful of times throughout the season. So I think right now it's interesting where we at with the running back position and Alvin Kamara. Would you be shocked? I'm just going to ask you this. Would you be shocked if Alvin would end up getting a waive? I'm not saying he can't still play in the NFL or if he'd still want to. But I'm looking again, I told Mike and Charlie this, he holds $18.2 million cap hit for next season, and the Saints could clear $8.5 million in a salary cap space with a post-June 1st release. So what do you think? I mean, to me, I wouldn't be shocked if I was not on the team coming up this year.
This upcoming season?
Yeah, upcoming season. You think he'll be on?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll be a part of it. I mean, you can obviously go either way. I mean, when you did the mechanism in the salary, I mean, it was done for a reason. Now, the exact reason, we don't know. You know, that's just being honest. And so, you know, you do something like that, then it could lean either way. But Alvin was there today. You know, he came to one of the OTAs. You know, I think going forward, we know if they make the move, it's not because they need the cap room as far as salary is concerned, correct?
Yeah, yeah, correct. Yeah, we're not like in.
You know, I mean, because he's already they're already under the cap.
Right,
they're not
right.
hurting as far as cap space.
It's football
so you're not
decision.
That move.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, so you're not making that move because it's, oh, you know, we need the cap space.
No, no, or, it'd be more a football thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't even know if it's a football thing at that point, though.
Go ahead.
But Bobby, you can't say that he can't contribute to your team.
No. Okay, the reason why, I don't know, and I'm looking at that meeting room. You've been in those running back meeting rooms. We've all been in positional meeting rooms. I don't know, because there's one alpha right now, and I think that's Etienne. And how the influence. If you're a young running back, okay, like Kendre Miller or Devin Neal, they don't really know Etienne. They're learning to know him. They know Alvin. Are they listening to what Alvin's telling them, or is there any conflict in that meeting room? And you know maybe more Alvin's personality. That's a lot of times, if you used to be...
There's no conflict there.
Okay, because I mean, I'm saying if you used to being the alpha...
Here's the thing. A-Chan is still trying to learn, you know, his way around the building.
Okay.
He's still trying to figure out what's going on offensively. It's not like he knows the offensive system in and out. You know, Alvin's only been in it for 1 year himself, but at the same time, I think you got a couple things at play here. You know, you got a couple things at play. I can't completely say that, you know, yes, the Saints have to be concerned with the production standpoint. That has to be a concern. And I think the other part of it is, you know, he said the right things publicly, but, you know, going out and proving it and showing and saying, hey, you know, I don't think he's ever been a bad teammate. So I don't think that's going to make the running back room bad all of a sudden. I mean, because he wants to win. He's had other guys that have been there in that position, you know, particularly Mark and some other guys. And so for him, he wants to win. Now, from a financial standpoint, if there's any question that's where it's at.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say football decision. I mean, but even if – is he better than your number three guy? Is he better than your number two guy? I mean, if you don't have him slotted as your number two guy, who on that squad is going to be your number two guy?
Well, I don't know. Estime's working hard. Now, Estime don't have the skins on the wall as him.
Working hard don't mean that you're going to go out there and produce.
Well, I mean, since week 10 of last year, he kind of produced. I mean, I'm not saying on the level that you need to be the top dog. But, for instance, I look at Alvin Kamara.
You don't need the top dog. That's what I'm saying. You don't need to be the top dog. At some point, you know, A-Chain has to come out of the game. What are you going to do? He gets nicked up for a play or two. What are you going to do? And the biggest thing that you want to be able to do, if you're truly being honest, is help your young quarterback. Well, we both know you better be able to run the football. You better be able to run the football. And so if I've got at least one or two guys that I know I can depend on to do that, then I'm helping my young quarterback. And so I think if you can figure it out from a financial standpoint and a feelings standpoint, you know, because let's be honest, those are probably bruised as well. You know, those are probably bruised as well as far as that this is even to this point. Mike, man, you talked about it a couple weeks ago, that this is what we're even talking about. So, you know, Bobby, you know it. There is a disdain for management when I feel like that I'm not getting my bang for my buck, or I feel like that I have at least met my obligation or fulfill my obligation to get paid. And so I don't know if this is, hey, you know, I want more guaranteed money. I want some type of extension. I want my contract settled. I can't tell you that. I don't know that answer. I don't know if that's been asked. I don't know any of that situation. And it's the same part of has the team approached you to take a pay cut? Has the team approached you to redo some of that contract? I don't know if that's happened, you know, because – neither really came out and publicly said it, if we're being honest, you know. And so those are things that we're just speculating in. There has to be some communication between both parties, and over the next 6 weeks or so, 5 weeks or whatever it is, we'll kind of see where this thing goes.
Why is it taking so long, though? You and I talked about this. Well, this should have been settled long ago, one way or another, with Alvin.
Well, Deuce, I don't know. Maybe I'm old school about mandatory minicamp, but I can see if you're rehabbing an injury or something, but if you're healthy, why you don't take no reps? They're not hitting you. They're not tackling you. What is like?
If you saw how they kind of treated some of the other guys as well, a lot of the vets, they didn't get in any of those team plays, particularly if they weren't here. Yeah. Particularly if they weren't here.
Right, right.
You know, if they hadn't been here, it's almost like, all right, I'm here at minicamp, and the team has taken the approach. We'll let you do some individual, we'll let you do some, you know, maybe some 707 work, but any of the team stuff, we're going to go with the other guys that have been here, they've been through it, and that's what we saw. You know, and that's just, you know, like you said, it may be an old school approach for us. That, man, hey, you know the play, so you getting in, you getting you a rep or two.
Yeah,
not that you hadn't been here, so now you don't get any reps.
Deuce, one of the
you know the play, you know the play, so you gonna get in and get a rep or two.
Deuce, one of the guys, and he stuck out to me, and he's a bit of a straight line runner, but boy, he catches everything thrown to him, and he's got some giddy up after the catch. And that's Bryce Lance. He was impressive today. Running routes, getting open, and when the ball touches his hands, he catches it. It ain't no bobble to it. And I was impressed with Bryce Lance. I saw him at North Dakota State, and there was a lot of what you want to call bracket coverage on him and everything else. When they threw him the football, everybody's sphincter sort of tightened up a little bit because, man, he could haul tail with it after the catch. But he really looked good today in the practices.
So Charlie, I got one quick homework question for you right quick. Can you look up and find out if Bryce Lance is right or left-handed? Is he left-handed dominant?
Charlie will look that up for us, Deuce.
Charlie, and the reason I say that, there was one route, Mike, that he ran down in the red zone. It was a hitch route. 5 yards, hitch, you know, and he was able to catch it. And if the corner didn't come up and make the tackle, he was going to break the tackle and go get in the end zone. And if he didn't get in the end zone, he was probably going to get at least two tackled around the 2 or 3 yard line. There's one thing that I probably have a negative on that play about. It wasn't a catch. The route was clean. The route was good. The ball came out on time. Everything was fantastic about it, except one thing. And so when Charlie tells me
he's right hand
the
dominant.
Combine info, Deuce, I think he's saying that he's right-handed.
Right-hand dominant.
He's right-hand dominant?
Yes.
He was on the right side of the field. Ball stayed in the left hand arm. So it was in the inside arm. That ball, if they would have been tackling, if the corner doesn't make the play, the traffic would have got it. And that was the only thing. He kept the ball on the inside. He did everything else right, outstanding on the route. I mean, the hitch route, he was able to get in and out of the cut, be able to sprint back, catch the ball with his hands. But he put that ball in his left hand. And he, you know, basically, you know, it would have been a tackle, him in the corner 1-on-1. But that ball has to go on the outside arm, particularly to keep away from the flow. One guy also, and I know you guys, I don't know if you talked about it earlier, Jalen Ford. Jalen had a fumble. He had a punch out. He had a punch out on one of the running backs. And I thought for him, you know, we've seen him be able to make some plays, some splash plays as far as on special teams, but not a lot on defense. And so is this the opportunity for him, since DeMario and some other guys are gone, to finally be able to showcase some of the speed? And, you know, like I said, we've seen him make some plays on the special teams, but we haven't seen a lot on defense. And so for him to have just a punch out and cause the fumble, I thought that was pretty good for him, because, you know, he's a guy that battled some injuries, but when he's been out there, he's been able to flash and make a play or two for you, but you just hadn't seen him be able to do anything even on the defense and some of the packages that they've been able to put in. You know, Isaiah passed him up kind of last year on some of those packages, and so he's a guy, when they drafted him, I think that they had some high hopes for him, but, you know, just hadn't flashed enough yet.
You know, Deuce, now with the nickel and all that, nickel dime, and, you know, with the extra DB or extra couple of DBs, no one does they can still do it, maybe on first down if it's a heavy run team, whatever, a 4-3, four down lineman, three linebackers, or 3-4, three down linemen, and four linebackers. But if you're going to go with, let's say, that they don't really get off the field, that two linebackers that you're going to trust every down, and no DeMario Davis, no Double D, but I look at Caden Ellis, and the reason why I'm asking you this, okay, Pete Werner has been here. He's going into his sixth season. And when you look at the competition there, can Danny Stutzman overtake him going into his second year out of Oklahoma? How do you view that rotation as far as participating? Because I think Caden Ellis, obviously, coming from – he's with the Saints, went to Atlanta, came back now with the Saints. He's the alpha. But when you look, you think, depending on the situation, how they contribute? Because it seems like at times we've been always trying to replace Pete Werner.
Yeah, two linebackers and nickel will be Caden Ellis and Pete Werner.
Okay. Okay.
I mean,
right.
I think Danny has an opportunity to get on the field. I think he has an opportunity to play. But if Pete Werner is healthy, Pete Warner's your linebacker. And that's no knock against Danny. I think Danny is probably your guy if you're going to go 4-3. But I think from just being there, done that, I've seen it. I've had a rep or two, you know, and the Saints may feel like that, hey, you know, Stutzman is ready and, you know, we may want to move on from him. But if it's today, if you're playing a football game on Sunday, it is Caden Ellis and Pete Werner as your linebackers.
Now, Deuce, are you any concern, because it wasn't that long ago, I mean, maybe a couple of seasons ago, when all of a sudden, oh, no, that's one of the strong points of the team. We had Marshawn Lattimore and Paulson Adebo. Now, Adebo can get a little handsy and get a penalty, you know, at the worst times. But we were talking about, no, the duo cornerbacks, we in the top five in the NFL. Well, I look now where we're at, and hopefully can take that next step. I look at Kool-Aid going into his third season. Then you got Quincy Riley going into his second season. You know, we're all thinking maybe that's where they're going to go in the first round on the draft, whatever. But I'm more worried about the outside corners than I am even Sanker as the star on the slot. Whatever. What's your take on that? Because I think I have to see it. Because, you know, I would kind of joke and say, I like that nickname, Kool-Aid. But when he wasn't playing well at times, I say, no, I'm calling him Sugar Water till he makes a play. But we need that. People don't realize how good Lattimore was when he was at his best. Now he slipped off. Yeah, that was the trade was right when he went to Washington. Same thing with Adebo. He ain't done nothing with the Giants.
That's why he's unemployed today.
Yeah, and Adebo hadn't done anything with the Giants. But when they were here and rolling, we were pretty stout.
No, I mean, Bobby, I think you're always concerned, you know, particularly with overall depth, and you want both of those guys to take another leap. You know, I think they were very, very pleased with Riley, and you can kind of see with some of the moves that they did make in the first round or, you know, even in the draft overall. You know, one guy I am intrigued by, and I got a chance to speak with him a little bit, was Emerson. And that's just because you look at him, he's a big corner. He's a big corner, and I know that he's battled some injuries, and, you know, he did pretty good up when he was with
Cleveland,
Minnesota. Cleveland, and I think, was it Minnesota? But early in the career, before
Cleveland.
No, he was always with the Browns.
Yeah, he was starting off till he blew out his Achilles.
Yeah,
no,
he was.
Yes, and so, but before the injuries, I think that you were really, really excited about it. And so I don't know health-wise what it looks like, you know, if he's close to 100 or he feels like he's close to 100. But I would be very, very intrigued with him. And then, you know, I wouldn't be surprised as well. I know right around the draft or right after it, they brought in some guys, some veteran guys. And you're always monitoring. I mean, but they want those top two guys that we talked about, Quincy and Kool-Aid. They want them to work. They want those guys to be long-term answers. But I wouldn't be one bit surprised if they brought in a veteran to kind of be in the mix, maybe a guy that's been there, done that. He can step in. He can come and play. He can come and compete. But, you know, he's not one that I'm really – I'm only going to play him if my young guys aren't working out, if that makes sense. And so I wouldn't be one bit surprised for them to even add somebody to that room maybe before camp that they can work something out with.
I agree with you there, Deuce.
Well, Deuce, I can tell you this. You know, it seems like he's still making plays. I think in red zone pass defense. You know who's going to lead the team in interceptions?
I'm looking at my crystal ball.
If he plays the whole season, Julian Blackman will lead the team in interceptions. Remember how you get an interception like 3 days in a row in practice? I mean, I don't know. I'm a big Blackman fan. I think you are too.
Well, when you can read coverages and when you understand route patterns, then, I mean, you're just playing center field. And so now I'm always around the ball. And I wouldn't be one bit surprised by it, Bobby.
Deuce, thanks so much for joining us this evening, man. Great to hear the voice again. We'll talk real soon. Thank you, brother.
All right, no problem. Thank you.
All right, Deuce.
Deuce McAllister, color analyst here for WWL Radio.